God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I have probably the best team of doctors in the Delaware Valley to handle every area of my body. My mother taught me years ago, I didn't know what a family doctor was. All my life I went to specialists. She was a nurse at hospital, and so I never had a family doctor. I always had a specialist. And she always taught me that if you're going to go to the doctor, make sure you get a good one. Don't fool around with people that are practicing and playing. And I swore to my physicians that I would always do whatever they told me to do. And there's a running joke in his office when I come in, and they'll always say the same thing. Well, why are you doing so well? I said, I did what you told me to do. And my one doctor, he says, I wish I could keep you here to tell all my patients that they should just do what I tell them. I said, Doc, I'm not going to pay you $125 a visit and not do what you tell me to do. That's just foolish. How can you come to church every Sunday and not do what I tell you to do? I tell him I don't want him to be my friend, nor do I want him to mollify or to coddle me. Tell me the truth. I may not like it when he says, okay, you know, you've reached that point in your life where you can't have 5 Oscar Mayer hot dogs at one sitting anymore. I wanted to rip his throat out, but I realized he was telling me that you had that day, it's over, now you're moving on. You're reaching 35. It's time for you to start changing your lifestyle. To eliminate stress, one of them I did have to fight with my endocrinologist because he told me that I should give up pastoring. He said, God never made you to handle all this stress from all those people. He said, Rev, they dump their stress on you and then they walk off like everything's fine. He said, maybe you should just give it up. And I said, Doc, I can't give it up. It's my calling. He said, well, then you need to take more trips to Disney World. I said, can you write me a prescription and get Blue Cross to validate it? And we laughed about it. But I walked out of that office realizing that God puts people in your life to give you instructions so your life will be better. The problem in Pentecostal church, and I bring this to God on a regular basis, and here's one of the principal problems. God talks to me to tell the church, but then he talks to you in conflict with what I say. So if I'm saying something from the Word of God, and then you say, well, God ain't telling me that, then where's the future? We're in conflict. We can't grow. We can't prosper. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, one of us have to bow and take down, and I'll do it. I'll do it to avoid conflict. I'll say you're right and I'm wrong. Because our church cannot survive division. So I'll go along with you. Whatever God tells you, I'll go along and do it because I know from Scripture that truth will always rise to the top. And eventually, the truth of what God says, it may not be pleasant. And I preface my sermon with this particular analogy simply because this afternoon, you're going to get something that's not gentle. It's not going to be pleasant. I went to the store the other day and I purchased a large bag of double bubble bubblegum. I did it for nostalgia. I used to chew gum. I didn't chew tobacco when I was playing ball and with my buddies. I chewed bubblegum. So I saw it there. They only had one in the entire place. So I bought it. It's about that big. And every piece in there is bubble gum. They got the regular bubble gum that's wrapped with the little twisties. And then they have the bubble gum balls. White, red, yellow, green, blue. And they're all in there. Now I reached in one day and I had taken out one of the regular twisty ends of double bubble. Now I have a rather unique pattern for chewing bubble gum when I'm home. When I'm home, I chew bubble gum and then I get a glass of ice and I break the ice and I wrap the bubble gum around the ice so it gets hard and I chew it again till it gets soft. It reinvigorates the sugar. That's why God puts cold people in your life to reinvigorate the sugar. Forgive me for being a physics major. But then one day I reached in and I grabbed a handful of the little balls. I got a white one out and I chewed that. Ooh, that was so good. Then I got a red one out. Well, that was Nirvana. But then I picked one out and I didn't pay any attention to its color. I took it in and that thing was spicy and hot and it just didn't taste good. So I went through the bag and took all them out and threw them out. So I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm only going to chew what I like and what I know. You come to church, you don't know what to expect. During the week, we say, God, have your way. Lord, do whatever you need to do. And when he sends his servant with a word that's spicy, hot, uncomfortable, and burns going down, we reject it. We have to go to the bathroom or we shut it off in our minds because we don't want to hear it. But God's trying to take not only this church, which is a branch of his body, he's trying to take his entire body to a new position. And the way I know that he's doing that is because he has changed me. I am no longer interested in preaching you into a demonstrative, whipped up frenzy praise. I want you to receive it and meditate and think and move in it so that there's a substantive change in your life. Something is wrong. In response to his critics, Paul writes 2 Thessalonians, and in that particular letter, he says, I don't want you to have anxiety about the coming of the Lord. I don't want you to get frustrated, he said, because you're wondering when will that day come. He says, but I need you to realize that one of the precursors to the coming of the Lord is a falling away. And for years, Pentecostal exegetists and theologians have determined that the falling away meant that there would be a severe amount of backsliding, but that's not what he's talking about. For our thought about backsliding is not biblical. One does not lose their salvation. They simply become a prodigal. And we need to understand the dynamic of falling away. He said that this primary sign would be the one thing that assures us that the Lord is returning when his people begin to fall away. They begin to drift into a myriad of emotional, psychological, social, and spiritual abyss where they can no longer find joy in simply serving God. The beauty of a sound relationship is being able to enjoy the person and not the stuff around. Marriages end not because of the cessation of certain patterns of behavior, but marriages end because we have unrealistic expectations that cannot be realized. And those expectations usually go beyond the person's ability to perform them. In short, what we do is we marry a person for who they are, but then we live with them for what we want them to be. And when they cease being what we want them to be, we then interject other situations that will help us tolerate them for a season or cause us to develop a callus towards their behavior that is injurious to us. My brothers and sisters, I submit to you this afternoon that we've done the same thing with God. When we started out with God, we loved God for who he was, and we were determined that we were not going to let hell or high water keep us from seeking him, loving him, worshiping him, or gathering together in his house of worship so that we may give God praise from a corporate level. But then something happened. God stopped being our little sugar daddy. He stopped giving us everything we wanted. He stopped opening every door that we spoke into existence. And then we began to fall away. We drifted. It started out innocent enough. It was a very innocuous drift. It was something that you couldn't even realize. You found that you were angry with people for stuff that they weren't even accountable for. They were being motivated by the devil, and it affected you to the point where you began to cease your attendance in the house of worship. You weren't even aware of the fact that you were pulling away from God, but you found that you were becoming offended very easy. It didn't take much to offend you. When you were first born again, it took a lot to offend you. But now you get offended when the wrong person sneezes. What has caused this sudden transformation, this deliberate turn, if you will, where we have lost the joy of the Lord and replaced it with the joy of church? My brothers and sisters, there is something that is going on in the body of Christ, and we are ignorant of it. It is something that is insidious. Insidious, by definition, means it works behind the scenes, and it has no outward show of it even being effective. Termites are an insidious insect. A cancer is an insidious disease. It works in the background until it comes to the forefront, and by the time it comes to the forefront, it has caused so much damage that in many instances, you can't even cure it. Some of you sit here today in the presence of Almighty God, spiritually dead. You're in a place filled with live people. The music, I heard the praise and worship coming from that team before the choir took the stage. And I sat back there and I heard something different. It was a long time since I heard the sound of victory. I sat in my office and I heard the sound of victory. I heard it as it came out of those people, and my spirit was lifted while I sat behind my desk. I had not heard that sound in a long time. And God said, that's the sound that's permeating my churches throughout the world. I am pouring into my church victory to be able to withstand the onslaught of the devil. But there are some who, while they were in praise, you were in complaint mode. You were angry about situations in your life. Certain people came on the video screen, and all that joy that you had for the 15 or 20 minutes that they sang was immediately replaced by anger and physical hostility. How do we make the transition from speaking in tongues to cussing you out?
If you believe, for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10217P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and broadcast television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.